The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Leonard George and Willie Jackson Sr., that name may be familiar in Florida history. A couple of his sons, Willie Jackson Sr.'s son, starred for Spurrier in the 90s. Will join us in a couple of minutes as we continue to celebrate Black History Month with some of the legends of the SEC. They'll join us in about 15 minutes. Right now, more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Mason, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Mason.
Hey, Paul, I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
I'd like to know what your opinion is on what's the ceiling and what's the floor for Florida's football program this year, and what's your opinion on Florida's basketball program? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mason. Yeah, as far as football, I think the ceiling is competing for the SEC crown. I would, like everyone else, go with Georgia right now, but I don't think the Gators will be too far behind them. It seems like they've got the quarterback situation in pretty good hands. They replace a lot of players, but that's standard in the SEC. Basketball, unlike our previous caller, I'm still a fan of Mike White. I'm not as well versed as he was or is, but I've always thought Mike White represented the best of college basketball with a high degree of integrity. And I'm not saying that's the only thing that matters. Of course not. But I think he's put a very very competitive team on the court. Last night was not a great night, but that team is coming off of a pause, and I think they will definitely be a tournament team. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Zach, who is in Ohio. Hey, Zach.
Paul, what's up, man?
We're just trying to navigate all this this polar vortex that you guys sent us up north.
Oh, my goodness, man. I know we're used to it down here, but, man, up there, I can't even imagine.
Well, I grew up with New York parents, and I would hear them always belittling us Southerners. We didn't know how to deal with the snow and ice. But I spent plenty of time in New York in the fall and winter. The difference is in Ohio, you're equipped for it. In the South, nobody's equipped for anything. So when it goes below freezing or below zero, and ice and snow come, there aren't snow plows. We had a shovel growing up because where I grew up at, we did get a reasonable amount of snow, but most people don't ever see it, or maybe they see it every 5 or 10 years.
Yep. Well, first, I wanted to let you know that I've learned more from your show in the past 2 weeks than I've ever learned in my life.
Second, about what?
Second, about sports.
Oh, okay.
Long-time sports fan, but, currently just getting into, watching shows, ESPN, obviously your show. I've been calling in every day for about 2 weeks now. You notice that? You notice me?
I have. Zach is a very memorable name. And I talked to somebody yesterday in California named Zach, so I know the name fairly well these days.
Yeah. Well, the first question I wanted to ask you is, do you do brackets for college basketball March Madness? Are you a big bracket guy?
I fill one out for fun, but I don't play the office pools. Not that it's kind of hard to find an office pool these days, considering how few people are in an office. But I certainly understand the importance of it.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to ask you, man. You have a great day, and I'll be calling again tomorrow.
Zach, you take care of yourself. Great to have you on. Justin is in Florida on a late Wednesday afternoon. Hey, Justin, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me, man.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, I just had a quick question for you. Not a frequent viewer of the show, but wanted to tune in for Gus Malzahn from UCF jumping on. Wanted to get your opinions on what you thought his ceiling might be at a program like UCF down there in Florida. what can he do for the Knights program? What is their ceiling as far as the next few years go?
Well, I happen to think he's of the coaches they've had lately, and that would include Scott Frost and Heupel. And I'm trying to remember who was before Scott Frost. Was that
George O'Leary?
Yeah. I think he's the best coach UCF has had in recent years. I mean, I respect George O'Leary very much. He was a phenomenal coach in his time, but I think Gus Malzahn has a tremendous ceiling. And, you know, he learned a lot at Auburn, and, you know, it wasn't always perfect, but, you know, I mean, I think it's been pretty well hashed out, you know, some of the obstacles that he had to overcome. But, you know, Gus Malzahn won a lot of big games. His teams were competitive, and he did some really good things there, some great things there at Auburn.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah. My hope is he can come to the American Athletic Conference with some of that skill as a coach, that respectability, and kind of start dominating the program to, you know, points where the rest of the nation wakes up to more than just the 2017 banner hanging at the stadium you like to talk about, but maybe be recognized.
Well,
for more
I mean,
than
listen,
just that,
so. That's an old subject, and I am no longer going to go down that road because I am a fan of Malzahn, and I think he will. You know, he mentioned today about getting to the Final Four. I don't think that's unrealistic. UCF is one of those teams that is positioned. Cincinnati wasn't far from it either. But I think UCF is even in a better position from a schedule standpoint to at least get close. And, you know, he said he wants to see an expanded playoff. I think that's UCF's best shot. With an expanded playoff, UCF, I believe we'll get to the college football playoff.
Well, yeah, we're hoping so. I'm hoping he's able to bring in some pretty big recruits for us. When I started school there back in 2013, we were excited to see some 3-stars commit. I'm hoping he can maybe pull a few 4-stars for us and just kind of get us on the map nationwide as far as respectability goes. So I appreciate you taking my call, Paul.
Thank you. Jeremy is up next in Georgia. Jeremy, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul. I'll just call in today, and I've been watching a lot on TV about Rush Limbaugh, and I was just wondering if y'all have ever crossed paths over the years and if you have any kind of a story or memory about him, because, you know, there's two people I listen to on the radio, you and Rush, and
I think everyone that followed him is sick today about his passing. I will tell you this. We never met, but I did invite him to play golf one time. As crazy as this sounds, he was coming.
He's a big golf
yeah,
player.
And I worked at a station in Birmingham for many, many years that was the flagship station for Rush. So he was coming in for an event, and I sent him a note and explained to him the particulars of the golf course that I thought he might be interested in playing there because it was a pretty famous course. And he did write me back and said that he was getting in too late, that he was well aware of the course and had always wanted to play, but we never were able to hook up. I feel like I knew him,
oh, yeah,
even though I never spoke to him.
That's what everybody was I'm sorry to interrupt. That's what everybody's been saying today, how he always would get back with the person, you know, if they left him a message or whatever, he would always get back with them, you know.
You know, Jeremy, I don't know how long you've been following Rush, but and as big as he has been, but there was a...
I'm only 32, and okay. I had no idea he helped with Reagan and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
But let me say one more thing about him before you go. And you know, there was a time when Rush Limbaugh had a cult status. And I mean, he did a tour. I'm trying to remember what there were these things called Rush Rooms where people would go every Friday and smoke cigars and listen to Limbaugh. The time I communicated with him, he was doing a tour of the country. And I mean, he would sell out basketball arenas. There were very few people, and this is mid-90s maybe. It's hard to describe. I mean, he got it was polarizing later in his career because the media became so fractious. But there was a time when he was literally one of the biggest entertainers in American society. We'll take a break. We'll talk to two men who broke the color barrier at the University of Florida in a minute, and we are really looking forward to that. Hope you'll
You are listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It is really great to have you on. I mentioned that we were going to have Leonard George and Willie Jackson Sr. on. We are still waiting to connect with Willie, but when we get a hold of him, we will have him join the conversation. But Leonard was the first African-American to sign at the University of Florida and had quite a career there. And we are delighted to welcome him to the program. Leonard, thank you very much for making time. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Well, I've certainly read a lot about you and heard a lot about you. And I'm really interested, if you wouldn't mind going back a couple of years, just a few, and tell us your story, because you made a lot of history, and you and Willie certainly were trailblazers. We had Carlos Alvarez on not too long ago, another young man who had to deal with a lot of things and overcame things. I know he was your teammate as well. Tell us how you ended up at the University of Florida.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, we had a lot of people in Tampa that were big Gator fans, and they was very important. They wanted to recruit me because this was one of the things that we needed to, touch on. And so we had the guys in Tampa. I don't know if you remember the Levy brothers.
Oh, yes.
But their name was Leonard and George. And we all thought this was so unusual because what are the odds that it's going to be Leonard and George, the Levy brothers? And they were very prominent, too, and another of the people that were involved in Tampa. And after seeing me at Jesuit, they said that I really should consider the University of Florida. And because that was another thing that my parents were thinking, that, well, they were saying that, well, you should not want to go anywhere, you know, much further, because your family and your friends will get a chance to see you, you know, in Gainesville. And that was one of the things. And the most important thing for my parents was, well, can you get a good education up there? And so we had that kind of discussion. And so it was another thing that this happened before we won the state championship, because a lot of people were telling my high school coach, Bill Manahan, that, well, you shouldn't have him sign because, you know, he'd be distracted. We got this game coming up, a big championship. And he says, nope, no problem. That was a reason, too, that we were able to sign when we did, because my high school coach had no problem with it. And so we signed before the state championship game.
Leonard George with us. And the next day after Leonard signed, I believe Willie Jackson signed as well. And of course, Willie is joining us now. Had the great pleasure of covering some of your sons when they played for Coach Spurrier. Willie, thank you for making time. Good afternoon to you. We were talking to Leonard about that fateful day and week back a few years back in the late 60s when you guys decided to sign with the Gators. How are you, and how do you remember that time?
I'm good. And the thing with me, I was just elated to be able to sign, because the thing with me, I went out of state to play my senior year, and with the help of some great friends from Sarasota, Art Ginsburg, and I guess that's my junior year, they saw where I was playing, and they figured it'd be good for me to go to the University of Florida. But then I was 19 before the season started, so I wasn't able to play. So I got in a prep school, Battle School of Military Academy, and I went up there, and it was cold up there.
I bet.
Again, and I was recruited by Woody Hague, the Ohio State coach, and I went to visit, and I went up there, and it was just snow everywhere, on rooftop and walking knee-deep in snow. And I made the decision, man, it would be best for me to come down to the liquid sunshine and be in that cold. So, but when we got there, I was still on the, I guess, ineligible list, because I had to predict my score and so forth and so on. And I didn't play my freshman year playing the Gator ball. You know, we had that Gator football team. You had to play on that before you get to the varsity. But then I got skipped that because I had to get my grades and everything up. And then, signing, I was just amazed to be able to sign, because I didn't go one way or the other. I had no idea who was going to be first or what was it. They just signed and there was going to be two, the first two is there. So that was just, I was just glad to have a friend that was going to be there with me. But it was not a bad thing for me signing, and because, like I said, everybody was just elated, especially my parents. And, I was the first to be able to go to college, and they just elated and glad for me. But it was not a traumatic experience being able to sign, and I had no problem signing, because, like I said, it was just one of those things that, hey, I made it, it's time to do it, so that was about it.
Leonard, everyone that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to many players, trailblazers like you, they all had different experiences, getting to campus, mostly white campuses, where we're still in the late 60s, and depending on where you were in the country, things could either be okay or really bad. What was your experience when you got to campus? I mean, obviously you had Willie there as a friend and somebody that you could deal with. But what was it like to be a black man on an almost all-white campus?
Yeah, when you think about it, you know, university had only started admitting my black in 1958. So it was something that was very new. And at that time, the civil rights movement was going on. The Vietnam War was going on. So it was a lot of things that, you know, we had to deal with. Because the good thing that was good was, like you said, Willie was the one that we had to, we came together and we did a lot of things together. So that helped make it, at least more bearable. But I also say that the white players made it easy, too, because they were the ones that, too, had to go through all of this themselves. I'm sure a lot of those players that we was joining had never had a black player on the team or even been around them. And so that was very difficult when you think about what we're dealing with, trying to make the team, trying to deal with the education, and having all these social issues. But I would say that, you know, another thing that I would have to say is that, well, we were the first ones in football, but we weren't the first ones, the first black athletes. The four of us had Ron Coleman and Johnny Brown, both in track the year before of us. And so we had a chance to hook up with them. We also went into the black community in Gainesville. That was very helpful. And also, we had a lot of the people on campus that would invite us to all of these different events.
Hey, Leonard, hold on one second. If I could interrupt, we're having a little bit of a communication issue. So, guys, hold on a second, and we're going to see if we can solve that little feedback issue, because there's a lot I wanted to talk to you about. We're talking with two very special guests, Leonard George and Willie Jackson Sr., two trailblazers who broke the color barrier.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.